Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Soul Sisters Show here on Psychic Talk Radio Network. And today it's Thursday, October 25th. And we are honored to have a special guest with us today, Dr. Todd Adamovich. And he will discuss achieving your goals, lessons about practice and patience. That's a really great topic. So tune in. Listen and call into the show to chat with us and Dr. Todd. We take your calls for questions, discussions, and mini readings live on air. Call in at 714-816-4628. 714-816-4628. International callers dial plus one 714-816-4628. And I'm Anne, coming to you live from Stockholm, Sweden. We have a really beautiful autumn here with all the colors in the nature, you know, trees with leaves ranging from light yellow to orange. It's so beautiful. And we are the show that discuss the Akashic Records, soul realignment, healing modalities in general, and we just love to chat about any and all spiritual topics. Call in at 714-816-4628. 714-816-4628. And remember to press 1 on the keypad on your device so you'll be placed in queue so you can speak with us live on the show. Call in now and get your spot early, 714-816-4628. Let me bring on my co-host for Soul Sisters, Sue, all the way from sunny Arizona. Hi, Sue. How are you?
Hi, Anne. I'm good. Very good. Excited to have Dr. Todd on today. We've got some beautiful weather, too. It's fairly cool out. I'm sure the leaves are changing up north in Arizona. So, yeah, and we're pretty comfortable out here now. No more hot weather, thank goodness.
It's nice, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. We look forward to this type of winter.
Yeah. And I want to remind everybody listening that you can call in now for questions and mini readings. Get your spot in the queue, 714-816-4628. 714-816-4628. You can write that number down because it goes to all shows here on Psychic Talk Radio Network. And you can join a free webinar at the Akashic, about the Akashic Records with our teacher, Andrea Hess, at psychictalk.net/Akashic. psychictalk.net/Akashic. If you'd like to contact Sue or myself for any question or book a reading or anything else, visit our host pages at psychictalk.net/Sue and psychictalk.net/Anne. So we are eagerly awaiting you to contact us. So, Sue, before we move on with today's show, you usually speak a little bit about last week's show. So,
you have the word. Yes, ma'am. Last week we had our guest, Julie Ryan. She was absolutely fabulous. the topic of that show was what really happens as we transition from this life into the next. She's very good, and I suggest if you didn't get a chance to hear, go into psychictalks.net/archive, and you can find our show with Julie last week. She was absolutely fabulous. We're the show that discusses the Akashic Records and soul realignment. And the premise of the Akashic Records, as I like to say, is about our own soul's records and how those records are housed in what I visually see as a library, so to speak. And that is where all the choices that we've made per the lifetime that we've incarnated are in. So imagine this book is probably very big on the etheric.
It's level. Huge.
Oh, yeah. And there's just massive amount of information in there where choices we've made in our past could be affecting us today. And those are the exact things Anne and I locate. We look for what could be affecting you, things that seem to never end. We go in and find where that existed in a past life, and we basically do a healing, and we work very closely with our clients when doing this work, something both Anne and I truly enjoy doing, absolutely love. And yes, a huge healing modality.
Yeah.
So
it's actually very, I just want to mention it's actually a passion. It is a passion because you can have someone to really see a pattern along with being able to help to clear that. That's beautiful.
Right. Right. And at that note, if you haven't called in yet, you can call us at 714-816-4628. If you'd like to just listen in, no need to press 1. If you want to get in the room, just press 1, and we will take your calls in just a little bit. With that being said, I'd like to introduce our special guest, Dr. Todd, all the way from Ontario, Canada, which you can hear I'm fumbling that. Hello, Dr. Todd. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
We're so thrilled
Thank
to
you
have
for coming.
You.
My pleasure. I was sitting and listening to the weather report from where each of you are, and we are also in a beautiful fall here with lots of colors and crisp sweater weather, which is my favorite time of year. So
wonderful. Yeah, for us too, doubt. Even in the desert, you wouldn't think so, but we do get some really beautiful weather. This is the weather we absolutely look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
Todd, why don't you tell us and our audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a PhD in clinical social work and have a psychotherapeutic practice. And what I typically do is integrate therapy with some Reiki. I'm a Reiki practitioner and energy worker. I'm a tarot consultant, and I've been doing tarot for about 15 years now. And I also recently have started reading the Akashic Records.
Oh, nice.
So that's been a really nice addition to everything that I do, and I'm getting more and more familiar spending time in that library as you speak. So I really see how the integration of these things becomes so important. And I think in the way our world is right now, we've lost such an important connection with spirit. So it makes me always very grounded and happy when I get to pull out some cards and connect with spirit and be helpful and be of service to people.
Right.
Yes.
What drew you into what drew you into doing the Akashic Records? Are you taking a course in this?
I had taken a course. It was one of those sort of synchronous things. It kept showing up. It would show up on my Twitter feed. I would have
right.
ch- tarot clients ask me about it. I would read it in a book. I would find it on a blog. I would listen to a radio show. And it just kept coming up over and over. And I finally said, okay, I need to investigate what this is and how does it work. And I want in. Right. Let me into the library.
Boy, that sounds really familiar, huh, Anne?
Yeah, really.
Or is it any, were you taking Andrea Hess's course or someone else's?
I did them with somebody else, somebody who is in Michigan, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we were able to just spend, it was over a few nights, and he teaches online for people, so it was easily accessible, and it was a good group of people, and yeah, so it's been a good journey for me in terms of extending what I do.
Right. All right. Now, with your clinical work in therapy, what ailments do you treat?
So my therapy practice is primarily focused on people who struggle with anxiety, people who struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder, and I very broadly, I'll say people who struggle in relationships. Maybe that's in their marriage. Maybe that's with a family member. Maybe that's with a friend. People tend to come into therapy to talk about their world and to talk about the connections that they either have or the connections that they wish they had.
Right.
So that tends to be the focus of my therapy practice. Yeah.
Right. How long have you been a therapist?
Oh, goodness. We are approaching 15 years with that, too. Yeah. I've worked in social services since I was 18, and then went to grad school and obviously did a PhD and have done various things in the field. And I've worked for various organizations. And now I am just self-employed, living the dream, seeing people, working with spirit, pulling cards and doing what I do. Yeah.
Right. Nice.
Living your
nice.
Passion, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Now, what basically from therapy, what drew you into the healing arts and tarot reading?
Tarot is, you know, interesting. Tarot found me is how I often describe it. I was raised in a pretty rigid evangelical household. So things like tarot cards were not even considered. They were, you know, thought of as evil. And when I was in my early 20s, one of my best friends said, hey, I've been reading tarot cards. I've been practicing. Do you mind if I do a reading for you? And I said, sure, why not? Like, I don't know anything about this. And the reading she did was very specific in terms of where I was at in my life and what some of the obstacles were and some suggestions about things that I could do differently moving forward. And, you know, we did the reading, we put all the cards away, we didn't really think about it again, and then my friend's partner came home, and she also said, hey, we've been learning tarot cards, do you mind if I do a reading for you? And I was like, sure, two readings in a day, like, whatever, right? Like, let's see.
Right.
And a completely different deck and a new shuffle. And honestly, it was pretty much exactly the same reading. And I was in a bookstore and I was a student at the time. I didn't have a lot of money. And I had found a tarot deck on sale for $5. And I thought, well, what have I got to lose? So I bought it and I spent some time, you know, reading the manual and kind of flipping through the cards, as I think everybody does the very first time they pick up a deck.
Right.
And, you know, I did a reading for myself and really it was almost exactly the same message a third time. And I kind of looked up at the universe and went, okay, I get it. I get it. I get it.
Right.
And really that just led me to use tarot for my own personal development, to use it as a way of helping my friends and family initially. And then once I started reading for strangers, you know, I started to really recognize how the messages resonate. And I think my own sort of tarot style brings me towards okay, here's what's going on, here are the energies, but what can we do? Do you want this outcome? Do you want the chaos to continue? Or do you want something different? And to really use tarot to help us step by step work towards the goals that we have and to work towards the things we want to accomplish. So
right.
I've seen it be so helpful that way.
Right. Now with your client or your patient, are you using Reiki or any healing at the same time?
Yeah, so I mean Reiki, healing. I tend to pull in Reiki energy often in my clinical work and just in my life generally. I usually allow my patients to kind of invite me in that way. So if they want a Reiki treatment or if I think it would be helpful, sometimes I might finish a session either by pulling a card to kind of say, okay, what do we need to think about moving forward? Or I'll, you know, we'll get on the table and do, you know, 15 or 20 minutes of Reiki just to kind of shift the energy in the body, to, you know, depending on what it is. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. That's interesting. I find that very interesting because you don't hear a lot of counselors using this type of method. You know, they use what, EMDR would be one.
Yeah, hypnosis. EMDR, yeah.
Yeah. Explain what EMDR is to our audience.
EMDR, it stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprogramming, and it's based on the idea that our brain wires itself around certain types of ideas. And EMDR is a process where you actually have a conversation with a therapist and you think about, you know, what it is you really want to work on with EMDR. And you get led through a process. You get led through it's like, you know, we ask our clients to pull up a distressing image, let's say, from something that's happened to them. And
right.
EMDR it's called a bilateral sensory input. So that means it goes to the left side and that means it goes to the right side. And
right.
People move their eyes in a very well-researched, systematic way that actually activates certain parts of the brain to assist with the processing of some of the distressing images that people have. It's considered an integrative therapy. Some EMDR therapists also use hand tapping and some of the ideas from the emotional freedom technique or the meridian tapping that is quite common in Chinese medicine. I think EMDR also is a nice kind of blend with neuro-linguistic programming. There's some similarities between the two.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, it's a form of a hypnosis, isn't it? I mean, aren't you going into, you're digging out what may be there in the past that the patient is not quite correlating between what the issue may be today and what may have happened years prior. So this
sure.
is a
yep.
form of, right, a hypnotic. Yeah, I also found that pretty fascinating, too, speaking to therapists in the past. And there's several methods that can be used, right? There's a sound method. You were talking about the left and right.
Yeah.
So
some people do it with sound. You know, and some people find, like, you can find EMDR videos on YouTube. And you know, if anybody, any listeners are curious about it, you know, put it into YouTube and you know, a good YouTube video will walk you through kind of what you're thinking and take you through the exercise of it. Some people use, instead of sound, they actually use a light bar, and your eyes will follow the pattern of light from one end of the bar
right.
to another one. And those, you know, it does the same process in terms of that left and right, that bilateral. Some with sound, some do it with light, some integrate both.
Right. Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. So what drew you into this type of work?
That's another good question. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know the answer, truthfully. I look back on kind of the trajectory of my life, and I was always curious about healing and about well-being, broadly speaking. And I, you know, even as a child, I remember thinking, like, you know, who helps people, and who takes care of kids, who takes care of adults, who takes care of people who help other people. And as I got older and went into university, I initially thought I was going to become a high school teacher, and that just went right out the window. That first semester, I found psychology, and you know, we were speaking earlier about synchronicity, and it just, there were synchronous moments. I took certain courses and met certain people who just changed very ever slightly the trajectory of my life, but slightly enough that it moved me to where I am today. And I'm very grateful for those people, for sure.
Yes, of course.
That's wonderful. What college did you attend, or colleges?
Oh, where did I go? So I attended Wilfrid Laurier University, which is in Ontario as well. It's in a place called Waterloo, Ontario. And I did all my grad work there, yeah. I actually live about an hour outside of Toronto myself. And
awesome. Sissy, what do you say we take some phone calls? I think, you know, callers are lining up, so I'd like to
absolutely. Are you ready, Todd?
I am ready, yes.
Okay, let's see. Who's our first caller? Hello, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good day, ladies. This is Bob Eden from the Whitsunday Islands. It's 2:02 in the morning, and I'm on my sixth cup of coffee. Good day, Todd. For me, it's always very enjoyable to connect with other people that have found what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the outline for the show, Achieving Your Goals. I'm 66 now. I'm just a sort of normal bloke, but I've achieved my goal, my goal was just to how can I put it? To be content. And how I've achieved that, apart from masses of personal growth work and sort of healing all the baggage that I carried, I took total responsibility for my life. But when I became ship's captain up here, the thought suddenly struck me that, hey, Bob, the buck stops here. You are totally responsible for everything that happens on this ship. So I just watched the Russell Crowe movie, Master and Commander, and that sort of just rang for me. So I took that ideology, and from that day, that was about 2005, I became master and commander of my life, and I'm fully responsible for everything that I create in this life, for I do create my life. And so I set my life purpose to be to simplify my own truth. And people say, well, how do you know what's your own truth? Well, whatever resonates with my heart is my truth. And then I set my conscious life intention, like I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. So how do I want to experience this life? So I just set my conscious life intention to be, I am here to have a gentle, joyful, loving and abundant life. So that's my command to the universe and also my address to the universe. And since I set that conscious life intention, that's precisely how my life is unfolding. So I never worry about the events that have passed, because I can't do anything about them except learn the lesson embedded in each event, because there's always a lesson. And I have no fear of the future, because my future unfolds in alignment with that conscious life intention that I have in place, my agreement with the universe. And all I can say is working for me. And I'm very passionate about people realizing their potential. And for me, life is supposed to be simple. You know, I believe all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. And if there's anything I've learned in my journey so far, is that I've found my way, my path, my truth. And I know that it is only valid for me. And I simply share my story in the hope that some of the tools and experiences that I've discovered along my journey will resonate with other people. But I'll get, you know, but my life is so abundant, so blissful. And I spent 25 years in automotive research. And the way I got to this space in my life, if you like, was learning how to turn the mind off. People meditate to get peace of mind. I took the shortcut. I just turned the damn thing off, you know. But yeah. If you guys could, it's always nice for me to maybe pick up some details of what's maybe in the future for me. I'll be open to anything that comes through for you guys.
Sure. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to put that in Todd's hands. Are you ready, Todd, to
I'm ready. Yeah, Bob, I want to say, before I even pull any card or do any sort of checking in with spirit, I want to just acknowledge what you said around the freedom of setting an intention. I often describe setting an intention as like lifting a sail on a boat. You still have control over where that boat goes, but if you want to capture the energy of the wind, you have to put the sail up. And I think the universe and spirit tends to respond once it recognizes we've lifted our sail and we have set an intention. We're still the drivers of our ship, I think.
Yeah, well, the way I look at that, Todd, is within the wholeness of creation, I view myself as a raindrop in the ocean of consciousness. I'm aware of the ebb and flow of life, but I still know the raindrop that is me. And for me, what I give my attention to, I become conscious of. And then how I manifest stuff in my life is attention, intention, and then manifestation. But it's not a thinking process. I was just listening to Sadhguru about an hour ago. Most people are thinking their lives. So few people are experiencing life. For me, it's all about the energy of feeling. I feel, therefore I am. So if I manifest something, I have to feel that thing first. I have to create the feeling of having that. And it's working for me. And I believe the universe has got a wicked sense of humor, which is probably why we get on so well. But also that the universe operates under the KISS principle, which is keep it simple, sovereign. Yeah, life is supposed to be simple. It's only the mind that complicates things, eh? Okay, I'll shut up now and let you get on with your... I can talk forever. On this stuff.
So, you know, in terms of, I want to, you know, acknowledge what your sort of question was in terms of, I'm going to rephrase it a little bit and think about, you know, what is it you need to be aware of as you step forward? And what can you think about to help you maintain where your attention and where your intention are placed? And, you know, the first card that has popped up here is the wheel of fortune. And, you know, this is, for me, when I see this card in pop up in a reading, it always says to me, you know, we think we've got it, but something's going to change. We think, I figured this part out, and then, oh, no, there's always something else that gets added to it. And part of the energy for me of the wheel is that we have to be exceptionally good at setting boundaries for people and setting boundaries for ourselves about how we spend our time, how we invest with the people around us. When we try to manifest things, you know, manifestation comes out of a lot of work. You know, I pulled two cards for you. One was the wheel. The second one was the Seven of Pentacles. And I think, you know, when we try to harvest and manifest all of the things that we've invested into, whether that be something that is spiritual, whether that be something very practical and mundane in our daily life, whether that's emotional, whether that's our spirit, we have to make sure that we are taking and harvesting and manifesting things without wasting energy and without allowing other people to drain us and to pull on our resources. We have to in some way make sure that we have those boundaries in place. Otherwise, a big tidal wave can come. It's like creating a sandcastle. You build something, it looks amazing, but all you need is the tide to come in and it washes away. So I would say, you know, one of the messages I'm getting is that, you know, now is the time for you to really make sure that the foundation is strong so that any changes that might show up in your life, you're going to be able to manage them. You're going to be protected. That requires a bit of planning and forethought. And with that planning, I think ultimately you'll see the best harvest that you possibly can for what it is you've been working on, simply because you're aware that your energy is sacred and is worth protecting.
Yeah, can I respond to that, Tom?
Of course you can, yeah.
Okay, my friend. Yeah, it's throughout my life, especially as a kid, I was always told I'm too sensitive, and that was a hard road. And I don't like the label empath, but I suppose if we're going to have a label that describes where I am, that would be it. So probably about 15, in about 1990, when I started seriously on this personal growth work, I came across the concept of boundaries, and I really began establishing really solid boundaries. And some people say, oh, boundaries, sounds like you're putting up walls. But I've come to the realization that my boundaries are simply the golden frame around the masterpiece that is me. You know, it lets me know where I finish and the people begin. So,
right.
You know, it's and you know, I can, every time I think about that, I just see this golden picture frame. Again, it's an image and a feeling. So, yeah, you're spot on with the boundaries. And that, how can I put it? Stuff approaches me in my life and everything radiates an energy, and how I steer my way through those energies is whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast, and I no longer feed the beast. Like, why would I? So I'm only engaging with harmonious energies, and it's like I found that a place within the silence of my heart that I call my knowing has no words. It's like, it's all about feeling. Okay, I'll shut up again now, and you can get on with your Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I always think it's interesting when we put boundaries in place, because the people in our lives often feel like what we're doing is causing a separation. And, you know, when you say, you know, we're putting up walls, well, you know, sometimes walls are important because energy, you know, you can set the intention to have positive, radiant energy around you. That isn't going to stop dark energy from trying to latch on. And, it doesn't. And I've noticed, you know, darkness has become sneaky. It's become subtle. It's become manipulative. And, you know, when we buy into that message, rather than adapting to it and rather than saying, no, I have boundaries in place, that's ultimately what I think. You know, you talk about the picture frame. if you were to put an art piece in bright sunlight, eventually it would be destroyed. So the boundary of this frame not only is the frame of your life, but it also creates preservation so that the image that is you and what is your essence doesn't get, you know, torn apart in any way.
But what a practical application of what I'm trying to get to is in my life, you know, just going about my daily business, for me, and I'll keep it simple because I'm sovereign. People radiate one of three energies, and it's either a snake, a teddy bear, or a black hole, a vacuum. And I can sense those energies. And I can do it up to about 200 meters, you know, during in town when there's lots of people around. My little blind dog, Barnaby, he can do it for miles. So if he lifts his paw and starts barking, I know there's a snake coming around the corner. You know, it might take 5 or 10 minutes to get it. He's my long-range snake detector, you know, my little dog, Barnaby.
Bob, you know, we love when you call into the show and you have so many deep and so many good things to say. We need to continue a little bit, so thank you so much for calling in. Please keep listening and chat with us. Chat with us in the chat room, okay?
I will do. I might start snoring. And thanks for doing the posters, Anne. You did a great job.
Thank you. I hope you appreciate them.
I do.
Thank you.
Take care, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Okay, Sissy, do we have any announcements?
Yes, we've reached the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to say some short things here. If you want to connect with Dr. Todd Adamovich, you can find him at toddadamovich.com. toddadamovich.com, and find out all about the amazing episodes of the Soul Sisters show and all of our other shows here on Psychic Talk Radio coming up this week at psychictalk.net/upcoming. psychictalk.net/upcoming. We have many new hosts and many new shows, so keep yourself updated on every upcoming show here at psychictalk.net/upcoming. And the next episode with the Soul Sisters show is on Thursday, November 1st, and we have a worldwide psychic special with psychics Julie Ryan. She was last week, so she's coming on again. We have Lottie Wallin and Frankie Arbus. They have the spiritual landscapes. They had the spiritual landscapes one Sunday each month, and I think from November here they will start to have it twice a month. And then we have Carrie Marie Bush. She has been our guest as well in August. I think it was 29th of August. But if you want to check out these psychics and people, they have all been guests. So you can go back to psychictalk.net/soulsisters and find the episodes with them. And please join us the upcoming Thursday. Our worldwide psychics are specialized in psychic readings, channeled messages, medical intuitive messages, tarot readings, mediumship readings, astrology, angel card readings, and angel messages. So we have a broad spectrum coming on. And next upcoming show here on Psychic Talk Radio is tomorrow, Friday, October 26th. And it's Goddess Guidance Show again with hosts Shakti and Naki. They will discuss Samhain, releasing life, plus take your calls for questions and mini readings. They'll be on 5 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Central, and 1 a.m. London time. On Saturday, October 27, it's Psychic Saturday with Mary and Dax. They will discuss tricks and treats, bring your spooky stories, plus a Halloween spread. So, for you, just in time for Halloween. They'll be doing an awesome Halloween spread that's perfect. And you can call in to talk to them about spooky stories or whatever is on your mind. They have open lines. They'll be on Saturday, October 27, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. London. This upcoming Sunday, October 28, there is no show. So next show after Saturday's show will be on Monday, October 29th, and it's one of our new hosts. She's very, very, very good. It's Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Show with host Catherine Hahn. She will continue her shows on the Chakra series. And this time, are you willing to trust in a higher power, exploring the crown chakra? She also is holding open lines. She'll be on Monday, October 29th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. London. And if you haven't called in yet, now is the time to call in. Call in at 714-816-4628. 714-816-4628. Two more things. You can find us on Twitter, psychictalk.net/Twitter. psychictalk.net/Twitter. And if you'd like to contact Sue or myself to ask us anything or book a private reading, visit our host pages at psychictalk.net/Sue and psychictalk.net/Anne. So, what do you say, guys? We're going back to take some calls?
Sure.
Yes. Sounds like a good idea. Okay. Let's see who's next. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Belinda from North Carolina.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
You have a question for Todd?
Yes. I'm going through an ending marriage. And I want to know if I'll ever make it on my own financially because I'm disabled.
Mm.
But he's so negative. It drains me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, the first response I have to that comes directly from the Four of Pentacles. And, you know, this is an interesting card to kind of think about. How can I ensure my financial stability? And I think part of that financial stability comes with being very mindful about saving and about spending and about what money comes in and about what money comes out. One of the interesting things for me about this card is sometimes we forget that money is nothing more than energy. And, you know, our emotional energy is also energy. And so sometimes when we get caught in an emotional space or a mental space of deficit and of thinking we don't have enough and we'll never be able to make it, and we keep all of those emotions inside, it can actually prevent us from accepting and receiving any sort of energy, including that which is financial. So I would say, to answer your question, the short answer is it's quite possible you can be financially successful and financially secure, but it will require you to probably make some changes into the rhythm of your life today. I see the Princess of Pentacles reversed here kind of staring up at me. And I think in some ways, you know, both of these pentacle cards are definitely saying that, yes, it's concerning to think about finances, but we also have to be willing to take risks. We have to be willing to be curious. We have to be willing to try And like we were talking about at the beginning of the show with setting an intention, if you set your intention to be abundant, and if you set your intention to having enough, and you curiously step forward, the universe comes and the universe provides what we need. I think part of the difficulty is when we have emotional energy that is drained from us, and if being in this relationship is draining for any number of reasons, probably the first thing that will have to have happened is separating yourself from the energy of that, and then really, making sure that you think very carefully about and plan very carefully for your finances. I don't know why, but right now I keep hearing the message, there's more for you than you're aware of. There might be some program through the government in your state which might be helpful for you. There might be some funding that you can access as a person differently abled that might be able to give you exactly just that extra little hump so that it doesn't feel so panicky. That means, though, you're going to have to investigate that. And so I think with a little bit of planning and a little bit of thoughtfulness, this can work out for you. Absolutely, it can.
Oh, that's great. Is there some way I can, while I'm in the marriage, protect myself from being drained?
Can you say that one
energy?
More time?
Protecting myself from being drained while I'm around my husband.
Yeah. Well, this is about recognizing that, in some ways he's a little bit manipulative, right? He isn't the knight in shining armor that everybody thinks he is. The Prince of Cups reversed has come up here, and I would say in terms of protecting yourself, quite literally that is about reinforcing for you how much of the energy of this relationship isn't actually about you. And it is far more a reflection of him. The Prince of Cups, I think, also calls us to really engage in an action. And so maybe that means when you start feeling overwhelmed, you go to the bathroom and you have a good cry, or you call a friend of yours, or, when you think about what it is you want to achieve, you have to think about where you want to go. And when you put in place somebody who's emotionally manipulative and quite damaging, that separation becomes really important. So before the physical separation can happen, I think you have to make that mental separation about acknowledging his energy doesn't reflect you. And let that be your mantra. Your energy doesn't reflect me. And when you say that in your mind over and over again, your spirit will start to really recognize your energy is separate. Sorry, go ahead.
Also, I definitely give that a try. If with his being bipolar, he's verbally abusive.
Yes. And so when those words come, it becomes very important that you recognize, yes, those are the things that are being said. Yes, those are the things that he is saying to you, but you don't have to believe them. You don't have to let them settle into your spirit. Energetically, I often recommend, and I don't know if Sue or Ann wants to jump in on this too, I often recommend people just, envision yourself surrounded by a bubble of light. And,
yeah.
Do that visualization regularly and every day. And just when you hear those words come, because we have no control over him, he's going to behave the way he chooses. However, you get to decide how you react. You get to decide how you respond. And you get to decide if you want that energy to sink into you. So doing some, just simple visualizations, imagine a bubble of light around you. That might help take the intensity of what he says out of it. Because it is not about you. This does reflect him.
Yeah. I'd have to say, with mental illness, it's not, I can concur with Todd that that it's a mirror. They reflect, they're reflecting onto you really what is about them. Todd is correct. It, as much as you are the target or the focus of someone with mental illness, I'd be willing to bet if it wasn't you, it's somebody else who would be close to your husband, who he would target or may have targeted in the past, correct? Has he received any help for his bipolar?
Just medication.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I work in mental health. I work with people diagnosed with all sorts of things. And one of the principles I really believe in is that we can never use our mental illness for an excuse for our choices. And
right.
I recognize some people very much struggle with mental illness, and it's a very big problem. And I in no way mean to take away from the seriousness of a mental illness. However, you know, medication is helpful on one side, but he also still is responsible for the words he uses and his actions and his choices. And these are the things that create our destiny. Our words are our most invaluable source of magic. And if we constantly say, oh, well, I do this because of my bipolar, it's because of this diagnosis, that's a really convenient excuse for him to not take any responsibility in it. And I have an issue with that. Because, yes, mental illness is real, but we also still bear the burden to be accountable for what we do. Yeah. So I will echo what Spirit and Cards have said around recognize this is a projection of him and it reflects him far more than it does you.
Yeah. But here's something also. I have an input here.
Yes.
It's always easy to say something, but the best thing one can do, because we can never change someone else, right? It's their choice. It's always up to them how they will. And many people are not willing to do that change. So we have to look within ourselves to find that part of ourselves and to realize that where am I going to put my focus? Because dealing with someone and wanting them to change or thinking they might be, that will be like a distraction. I'm so sorry you're crying. I'm so sorry for you. But it can act as a distraction in our life that prevents us from focusing, where am I going to go? What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Do you think maybe...
What do you say, Tom?
I was going to say something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think maybe it's time that you start putting to practice healing you rather than giving your energy to someone else who's drawing your energy, creating this negative environment? What I mean by that is that if you get enveloped in someone who has an illness and you forget about yourself.
Yeah.
And do you think maybe it's time that you invest and practice some things that would protect you, such as what Todd talked about? And maybe even have you done anything as far as protection for yourself, spiritual protection?
I write meditation and I work with crystals.
Okay.
I talk to the angels.
Right. Do you feel like there's a negative influence on top of this too? So it draws on your energy as well?
Yeah. Yes, I definitely feel.
Yeah.
I know I need to start protecting myself.
Right. I wonder if maybe have you thought of smudging the house or using holy water just to kind of lighten up your home a little bit? laying up the energy.
I've tried for smudging, but I haven't tried the holy water.
Yeah, maybe try the holy water and ask for, you know, God's light to come in and bless all those in the home, as well as the home and the property. You know, there are numerous websites out there with information on, that you can say when blessing a home. And that's the start. And even you can even, you know, bless yourself with that as well. A lot of people tend
I'll definitely
to forget
start working on it.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many avenues we can use. And I know it's, you know, easier said than done when you're not one who's living in an environment that's negative. But there are other avenues that you could be helped as well. So, and you can get a hold of Ann and I. There's soul realignment that can help. It's a healing modality. So by all means, if you're possibly interested in that, you could message us at psychictalk.net/Ann or /Sue.
Yes, I feel like it's blocking my ability to healing others, and I can't heal myself yet.
Right. Yeah, this feels like a huge, heavy blanket is sitting not only on top of you, but your home as well. A lot of weighted energy is there.
Well, I definitely want to smudge today because he comes home in the morning from out of town working, so I try to get it smudged and maybe to ease it before
right.
he comes in.
Right. Well, love, definitely, like we said, consider using holy water as well and put out as much intention and offer as much love and light as you can. If you're finding it difficult, you can always, like I said, get a hold of Ann or myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, just to add into that, you know, as everyone was talking, I pulled another card out here, and I pulled out the world, and I think this is the spirit's way of saying the universe has your back, and as you really get clear and set that intention for healing yourself, for having light be in the home, blessing the home, and doing all of the things that we've talked about today, it really is about your own healing, and that's where your energy is best spent right now. You know, remember that obstacles are just detours in the right direction. And
yes.
Sometimes we get faced with emotional obstacles. Sometimes we get faced with practical obstacles. Sometimes we get faced with spiritual obstacles. And those moments are, in my opinion, are little challenges from the universe to say, okay, it's time to do a bit of growing. It's time to do a little bit of healing. It's time to do a little bit of soul work, really. And, you know, I agree with Sue. The energy of this feels very heavy. And I would say smudging is good. I'm going to go back to that idea of the light bubble. I think the more light you can bring in to yourself, the better. And there are some, you talked about meditating. There are some great meditations that are visual guided meditations about inviting that light in. And I think that could also be something that you can take away from this conversation today and add all of these suggestions to your toolbox.
I definitely will, and I thank you all for the advice and the help.
Of course.
Well,
good luck.
Of course. Yeah, good luck. Keep in touch.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah,
okay,
keep in touch. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings
you all.
Thank you.
Light and love.
I know.
Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. Well, you know, we haven't barely touched on the topic we were going to discuss today, because we had a topic which was achieving your goals, lessons about patience or practice and patience. Anybody have any input maybe on that?
Yeah, right. Maybe we should talk about the theme of the day.
A good question, right?
Well, you know, I can start speaking about it, I guess. I since it was my idea, I was meditating when we had decided I would be a guest on the show, and really thought, you know, what is it that Spirit wants me to bring into this conversation today? And truthfully, I don't even remember what cards I pulled or what I channeled that moment. But what essentially came out for me was that, you know, our spiritual life is such an important aspect to the achievement of a goal or a dream. And we're so conditioned, I think, particularly in the Western world, to think about our physical bodies almost obsessively, and that's pretty much it. People think about, you know, what are they going to eat that tastes good, or what new clothes can they buy, or those sorts of materialistic things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it ignores the psychological and it ignores the spiritual. And, you know, one of the best spiritual lessons out there is about practice and is about patience. And I think when we, you know, set an intention and we have a goal in place, that's important. Dreams can't come true if you don't have any. But then the universe says, okay, that's what you want. Now it's time to get to work. Now you have to do something to help achieve that dream. And in my life, that's where I utilize tarot. What's going on? What can I do? What do I need to be aware of? And recognizing even the things that don't work out, that's a practice. And with patience, we learn and we grow. And all of a sudden, the goal or the dream suddenly becomes very realistic. So those were the ideas that I sort of had initially to begin the conversation, was thinking about, you know, what spiritual aspects become important when we think about achieving a goal in our physical world.
Yeah. Right. You know, it reminds me of some conversations Anne and I have had in the past with, you know, karma as well. You know, it kind of reminds me of when something happens to us, or we put that intent that's not so positive out there, and how karma can come back around as well. Just kind of my thoughts on that. You know, it's both the positive and the negative polarity. You know, so I think subconsciously can put out an energy that's not so positive, and that can come back as well. But practice, patience, and practice is what for a way for us to achieve and to work through, I think, some of those negative aspects that we have in our lives as well. We have to be willing to recognize those things that are choices we've made that may not be congruent to our divinity.
Yeah. And I can add something to this. It's very important my opinion, of course, to integrate our spirit in our daily life. So it doesn't feel like there's two sections in our life. So we kind of blend them and try to live by them and see the signs that are going on, and also to know that every time we start to learn something new, or we go through a healing or anything, all sorts of energy is coming to be known to us in our presence for those specific things we need to heal. For instance, if we had challenging relationships, we will most certainly encounter situations that remind us about them. But the beautiful thing is that when it's showing up like that, when we have the intention of moving ourselves through a healing process, the beauty of things showing up is that we can we can acknowledge them and we can release them and say, okay, I understand, I see it. But this time around, I'm making a different choice that is more in alignment with me.
Right.
So I think it's very important with the practitioners and the patients not to give up, because from personal experience, I know that a lot of times when I started out things and I set intentions and old stuff came to me and I said, oh, I can't take this. Not again. I don't want this. But if we can see it from a different viewpoint and say that, I am the power in my life. I can see this and I can say yes or no to it. So this time, no, I don't want that. I'm changing direction.
But you can see that as a positive. What?
Yes, it's
and
positive.
Something that was once a negative, you know, now you can take that negative as a positive because it becomes a lesson learned.
Yes.
As well.
I think that you know, the universe waits to see if we learn the lesson.
Yeah.
And that's where part of that patience comes from, because I'm sure you and Anne, you can agree with this, but in my own life, as I'm sure for many others, if I don't learn something the first time, I end up having to go through another situation to try to learn that lesson again.
Right. Oh, yes. I can sign it.
Yes. And sometimes you want to step back and just say, okay, I want to learn this the first time. And that's what comes with practice. You know, Sue, I'm thinking about your comments about karma. And
right.
I think karma, you know, karma can be about previous lifetimes and previous energies. But very
right.
practically, karma is this idea that there always is a consequence to our action, whether that's a positive
yeah.
consequence or one that's more troublesome.
Right.
And
yes.
you know, that, and that's again where the practice comes in, because sometimes, you know, if we think really negatively or we wish harm on somebody or we get very frustrated and that's the energy we are used to working with, that's what comes back
yeah.
to us.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that falls in line with something Anne and I have been talking about the past couple shows, which falls under universal laws, I think. You know.
Yeah.
Cause and effect, attraction, laws of attraction, the karmic laws. Yeah.
Yeah.
The polarity, you know, all those good ones.
And I also think it's important to not judge yourself for anything you chose in the past.
Yeah,
because,
of course.
Because every single time we make a new choice or do something, we base it on that very moment right there. So 20 years ago, if we made a bad choice that we consider bad today, we're not supposed to judge ourselves because we did the best we knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if things are coming back, it's looking at them and loving yourself at the same time and saying, I have the power and I'm going to make a choice for myself. And about karma, too, I think there's a presumption, this is my opinion again, that karma is written in stone. I do not believe that. I think it's in our hands, and it's about choices we make and the consequences from those
yeah,
choices and the energy we set in motion. So we basically have it in our hands.
Yeah.
That can feel both very positive and sometimes heavy.
Yeah.
But we are the power in our life, and nothing is actually written in stone. And there's no one out there coming back, hitting us and punishing us. It's only if we sense that, then we're going to experience the punishment. It's just that we made a choice that we need to make that a different way and taking a different route so that we are in alignment with our soul and our choices. If that makes sense.
I think we Yeah, I think we would all agree with that.
Yep, we do.
So, Todd, would you, before we come to a close here, would you like to give out any pertinent sites where people can get a hold of you if they would like a reading?
Oh, of course. Yeah, the easiest way is either to go directly to my website, which is my name, toddadamowicz.com. I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter, and my handle on both sites is at Tarot Todd, two T's in the middle, T-A-R-O-T-T-O-D-D. And yeah, I have a monthly newsletter that I send out to a mailing list. You can sign up on my website under the tarot page for that. You can email me about readings. I do some flash sales and put up some things on Instagram and Twitter. So lots of ways to engage, and I'm happy to chat with people and connect and read and do what I do.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Sissy, what do you say we bring this to a close?
Yes. I have some few announcements to make before we wrap up and end the show. I like to make jokes all the time, right? the gypsy jokester of the two of us. So, next episode with the Soul Sisters show is on the upcoming Thursday, November 1st, and we have a worldwide psychic special with psychics Julie Ryan, Lottie Valine, Frankie Arbois, and Carrie Marie Bush. So tune in, listen, and call into the show to chat with us and all the psychics. We take your calls for questions, discussions, mini readings, or whatever is on your mind. So everybody joining us next Thursday have been guests on our past shows, so you can all go to psychictalk.net/soulsisters. psychictalk.net/soulsisters to listen into the past shows. We'll be on next Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and 5 p.m. London time. The next upcoming show here on Psychic Talk Radio is tomorrow, Friday, October 26th, with Goddess Guidance Show host Shakti and Naki, and they will discuss Samhain, I hope I pronounce it right, releasing live. So I think it's going to be very interesting. First, they take your calls for questions and mini readings. They'll be on 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, and 1 a.m. London time. And keep yourself updated on all our upcoming shows at psychictalk.net/upcoming. psychictalk.net/upcoming. And if you want to connect with Dr. Todd Adamowicz, you can find him at toddadamowicz.com. We also put all his links up in the chat room. So go to the chat room and you can see them there. Does any one of you have anything more to tell the audience before we close the show?
Sure. Go ahead, Todd. Go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you for having me here, and thank you for being able to sit in this beautiful energy with the two of you, and to everybody who's called in and listening. I am just expressing my gratitude and sending light and love. So thank you.
Well, we thank you for coming.
Yeah, we do. Thank you all for listening and calling in, and thank you so much, Todd, for being here with us. We had a bliss, right?
Good.
Absolutely fantastic. We had a fantastic show with you. We are excited to be back next Thursday, November 1st, with a worldwide psychic special with psychics Julie Ryan, Lottie Valine, Frankie Arbus, and Carrie Marie Bush. And I think I'm talked enough. Anyone else?
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening and calling. Love, light, and peace to all of you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Yes. And angels watch over you all night long. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.